Prologue. I am writing this book in gratitude to my father and mother who introduced me to God and to the church and to love. In my mind's eye, I see a photograph of my parents before I came into the world. They are relaxing on the beach at a local lake, one of those little picnic areas with a concession stand for hamburgers and fries, and an arcade with skee ball and other games of skill and luck, and picnic tables, and plenty of ordinary people with their shouting troops of children. In those days, you didn't have to discern which lakes were good for children and which weren't, since every place except for a few of the taverns were for children, and people comported themselves accordingly. I never got the impression from my mother and father that such modesty implied any sacrifice or exercise of self-control. It was the natural expression of an innocence they had kept whole and hearty into their young adulthood. That's not to say they were reserved or prudish. Far from it. It's hard to pretend to be the cool socialite when you are the children of hardscrapple Italian coal miners, when neither one of you could entertain any thought of college, and when you grew up in big families with only a couple of bedrooms and an outhouse. But there was my mother, a beauty in a one-piece bathing suit, and my father, all skinny muscle and bone, both of them dark from the sun. They were in love with one another. I write those words, they were in love with one another, and they should need no explanation. But I must explain nevertheless. It's the whole scene at the lake that we must remember. My father and mother didn't deliberate about it, because they didn't have to. It was taken for granted. To be in love, not just to feel the rush of infatuation, but really to love, is not to see only the beloved and nothing else in the world, since that's to turn the beloved into an idol, and no idol can bear the weight of worship. The idol must collapse into disillusionment, into rubble and dust. It is instead to see the love you share as embracing the world, not bound by place and time, by chance and change. It is to say, all that I am is yours, now and forever. The love of the married man and woman remembers the past and opens itself in humility and gratitude to the future, in the very act of its consummation. It binds together the generations. In it, we recall the children we were, and we bring the child into our midst, born from our love. My father and mother could not get married right away. He had to serve in the army for 2 years first, and during that time, they hardly saw one another. She worked in a dress factory to support her parents, until her youngest sister graduated from high school and could take her place. Then, he had to find a job that would pay well enough for them to begin a family. They waited for 3 years, and during that time they did not pretend that they were married. That is, they did not sin against the family. They did not act in selfish uncharity against the children, those they would bear, and the other people's children who were swimming and splashing that day at Chapman's Lake. I said that they preserved the innocence of children. They had also preserved the child's natural sense of the sacred. I am not talking here about the objects in a church. Imagine a place most dear to you, because there you go, in the fullness of solitude, to collect yourself, to think, to contemplate, perhaps simply to be. Imagine a secret garden enclosed with hedges and vines, whose existence no one suspects, though within it are mazy paths and sudden springs and flowers that have no name. Or perhaps it is a rocky outcrop of a hill, barren of green except for the moss on the stones and the low-lying patches of blueberry and wintergreen. You don't bring other people to this place. It means too much for that. You couldn't bear it if they treated it as a paltry thing. But you know that you will someday bring one person there. The one who will love it also, but who will, in a mysterious way, change it, complete it, because you are not complete in yourself. You know you are not complete because your sex instructs you in that plain fact every day of your life.